EE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. A big storm system is moving east and north. Almost 250 million Americans in 47 states could be affected. Weather Channel meteorologist Mike Bettis.
A lot of heavy rain across the Midwest and the Northeast. There's a lot of snow as well across the Midwest. Places like Kansas City, Chicago get blasted, and then snow across New England. Oh, and everyone gets very intense winds. Winds could be gusting to 50 miles an hour in many locations.
The National Transportation Safety Board says it will be able to determine if the part of an Alaska Airlines jet that ripped off last week while in the air was properly bolted. NTSB aerospace engineer Clint Cruikshanks.
We have not yet recovered the four bolts that restrain it from its vertical movement, and we have not yet determined if they existed there. That will be determined when we take the plug to our lab.
Police say a man was found dead after allegedly murdering two people at a Super 8 motel near Duluth, Minnesota. St. Louis County Sheriff's Office Division Commander Wade Rash.
There was a report of an active shooter. That turned out to be three deceased individuals at the Super 8 motel.
A trial is set to start Tuesday, focusing on Dominion Voting System's touchscreen machines. WSB reporter Jonathan O'Brien from Atlanta.
The new machines, rolled out in 2020 and billed as a more secure upgrade to the previous electronic system, have come under fire from activists who say the Dominion machines are vulnerable to fraud.
The critics want hand-marked ballots.
Legal analyst Ron Carlson tells me this is nothing new.
The Dominion voting machines have been attacked in other court cases around the country.
He says the plaintiffs face an uphill climb with elections around the corner and the Secretary of State backing the system. Jonathan O'Brien for CBS News, Atlanta.
The first planned moon landing by a private company is possibly doomed because of a critical fuel leak on the spacecraft. Derek Pitts is chief astronomer with the Franklin Institute.
There seems to be a flaw in the propulsion system such that if there isn't enough propulsion available, it might not be able to land safely on the surface of the moon and might be able to make the trip out there, but it might not be able to land safely on the moon.
Astrobotic Technology, based in Pittsburgh, says that spacecraft will likely start losing solar power in around 40 hours. The moon landing was scheduled for February 23rd. Police have taken a driver into custody after he rammed into an exterior gate around the White House. President Biden was en route from South Carolina to Texas at the time. Law enforcement officers tell CBS News the driver is believed to have mental health issues. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Much of Wisconsin is under a winter storm watch. The heaviest snow is expected in the south and east from the Illinois border to Door County. Places like Milwaukee and Madison might get as much as 11 inches of snow. Green Bay could get a foot. Forecasters say it will be windy, too. Wisconsin Republicans introduced their bill to legalize medical marijuana on Monday. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tells WISN-TV's Up Front he doesn't want to go down the path to legalizing recreational pot.
We have way too many drugs. We just went through a huge opioid crisis. The last thing that we need is marijuana shops on every street corner of every small town in Wisconsin like we're seeing in Michigan and Illinois. They're not good.
Governor Evers says he would sign a medical marijuana bill into law. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Badgers move up from the top 25. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers, after beating Nebraska over the weekend, moving up six spots to the number 15th ranked team in the nation. Marquette fell out of the top 10 after losing to Seton Hall. The Golden Eagles now ranked 11th. NBA, the Bucks with another loss at home, this time to the Utah Jazz, 132-116. Damian Lillard out due to personal reasons. Fans starting to boo last night at Fiserv Forum. Giannis says he can't blame them.
I think we have great fans, but like, on the league, if you don't play hard, you don't give everything to the team, there's times that you might get booed. I'll boo myself. I was like, I heard the boo, and I was like, boo. I was like, In my head, I was bullying myself.
Charles Barkley on TNT.
They're going to have to find a way to get better defensively. This is what Adrian Griffin's got to come in and say, hey, guys, we're scoring enough points. But does he have the personality to challenge those guys? Because when you win games, you don't address things. They're awful defensively.
That's Charles Barkley with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A winter storm warning going into effect. A little bit of a mix of freezing drizzle and snow to all snow overnight, with temperatures holding steady in the lower 30s. Any kind of accumulation, an inch or less. During the day Tuesday, 3 to 7 inches. Highs in the lower 30s. It's 30 at our studios.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All our awesome farmers market and the Shaw.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair along with you. Greg Bach is on the board. We're coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96
Party.
If you would like to call and or text, you can also leave a comment on the live stream if you are watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We have a very busy show coming up today. Greg Bach, we have a couple of guests. At 10:30, Dr. Russell Kuhl, who is with the UWM School of Freshwater Sciences, will be joining us. There is no ice on the Great Lakes at this point. And we mentioned this a little bit last week, and I thought it would be interesting to have a conversation about, what does this mean? What does this mean for people who live along the lake? Wasn't it last year, Greg, that, and it was a similar kind of situation where there was very little ice cover, and then we had some big storms, and these waves washed up in areas where they normally wouldn't, and froze people's homes.
Froze people's homes, and just, I mean, just not ready for this because it's the change that's happening, and also the effect that this is happening on businesses. Local events that are winter based. I mean, it's, we talked about it last week as far as like, oh, I can do without snow, but there are some people who can't. They need it.
And there are other ramifications about this. So we will be talking with, Dr. Russell Kuhl coming up at 10:33, 11:06, UW Madison political science professor Barry Burden will join us. There is a new GOP proposal regarding how students on college campuses should cast their votes. does that raise some questions?
Just a few. That's why we brought an expert on.
Yeah, exactly. So we will be talking about that. I did want to mention, and I know it was just in the news, but yeah, we have snow coming our way.
Yes.
Finally. And it sounds like it could be considerable.
Yes. I'm hearing 5, 8, 10 inches. It's get ready.
Get ready is right. And we're going to try and get our Civic Media meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, on the show tomorrow just to give us a little bit of an update. But again, it could be 8 to 10 inches, depending upon where you are across Wisconsin. And it sounds like it's going to be kind of one of those all day events as well.
Yes. And it's going to be a long snowfall, and there's no clocking it because some places might get a half an inch. Some places might get 10 inches. Just be ready. Salt them driveways.
Well, and yeah, again, make just, and please, folks, just keep in mind before you get in the car tomorrow, the laws of physics still apply to you.
Especially in those big cars with the four-wheel drives.
Yes, if you are, yes, just as my mother would have said, maybe not in this instance, but don't get cocky. So, so just keep that in mind before you hit the roads tomorrow. Yeah. All right. Robin Voss, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, appeared yesterday on WISN's Upfront program. covering a number of different topics, and one of the first was the new maps, which, not a surprise, Mr. Voss is not a fan of, but he is talking to the two hosts again of WISN Upfront about the new maps and what this is going to mean going forward. Play that clip for me, Mr. Greg Bach.
Let's start with the maps. There is a really tight timeline on this in terms of what needs to happen. You're asking the court to reconsider. If they don't, are you drawing new maps as we speak right now to submit to the court by Friday?
Well, let's first start up by saying nobody is surprised by what happened because we had a justice who predetermined the case before she even was put into office on the court. We also know that, what do they always say, when do you put out the worst possible news is on a Friday afternoon and probably the worst possible news that you're embarrassed by on the Friday afternoon of Christmas weekend. And that's exactly what the Supreme Court did. So I think we all knew what was going to happen. It's disappointing the timeline and the process that they've utilized, but we're going to try to meet what the court has said. I still believe in the Constitution. We still have to follow the rules that they set. So my first effort is, I read the decision. They said the legislature should try to draw maps. So my first effort is, we've already reached out to the Democrats. We believe that we should have the legislature be the front, have the first chance to draw a map, pass it through the process, hopefully get it signed by Governor Evers. The parties are going to also submit maps to the court, but they said that would be the remedial method if the legislature could not get maps drawn. So I'm an optimist. I think we should start by trying the legislature's method and then see what happens after that.
Okay, there's a couple things here.
Yeah.
The Democrats are not the only ones that do these Friday news dumps.
Not at all.
Not by a long shot.
This is not a party thing.
No, it really isn't a party thing. And the most egregious example that I can think of, and actually they didn't even release this information, when they tried to kill the Open Records Act, and they kind of did that behind closed doors on a 4th of July weekend. And it was one intrepid reporter who caught on to what was happening, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, whoops.
Oh, did that happen? I'm sorry.
Whoopsie. Yeah. So again, this is not a only one side does this. Both sides do late Friday news dumps all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And as far as the predetermined, Justice Janet had a predetermined what her decision was going to be. All we have to do is look at a couple of the other Supreme Court justices we have on the court right now, including Brian Hagedorn and Rebecca Bradley, I believe, who had written pieces and weighed in on the abortion issue before they ever got elected to that court.
Yeah. I believe if we're going to say that she predetermined, then so did Daniel Kelly when he was running. They made basic, very simple statements about it, but that didn't predetermine anything. That didn't preclude them from deciding that maybe the maps were fair or not fair versus on the person. So yeah, it's Robin's playing the greatest hits of 2023 right now. This is like the top 10 what sound bites, predetermined maps, and the Democrats suck, and you know, this voice is the popcorn.
Okay, calm down, Greg.
I'm good.
It's Monday.
I'm doing my breathing exercises.
Good, excellent. This is Robin Voss appearing on WISN's Upfront yesterday. Then they were talking about the impeachment of Justice Janet, and as it kind of became more and more apparent as time went on, this was never really a serious thing. Here's another clip from Robin Voss.
I asked justices to tell me under what circumstances could it ever be utilized, and they basically came back and said it really shouldn't be utilized unless somebody commits a crime. Well, she hasn't committed a crime. She's done things that are clearly wrong. I hope that other courts look at that and say what she's done is clearly outside the bounds of our norms in society, or it should be.
So impeaching Janet Protasiewicz was never a reality in your mind?
Not really a reality.
Lies.
Oh, it was never really a reality. That is certainly not what you told a fair amount of your constituents, Mr. Voss.
And you ran, well, he didn't, but people who believe in what he believes in ran commercials to raise money and bring awareness. And the only reason, folks, listen up here, the only reason why this has not been pushed further is because they missed a deadline, which would allow them to have a say in who would replace Justice Protasiewicz, which once they pass that deadline, it would be up to Governor Evers to appoint the replacement. So there was no point in pursuing the matter. So, yeah, you're not. Just stop. Just stop, popcorn.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Matt Nair on Air. Greg Bach with me on the board. You can always join us at 844-967-2789 or leave a comment on the live stream talking about Robin Voss's appearance yesterday on the WISN Upfront program. It was announced, what, again, was this a Friday dump? It came out over the weekend.
Yeah.
That the Republican Party in Wisconsin will be presenting a medical marijuana proposal.
Boy, howdy.
Boy, howdy. Well, it's a step.
It's a step. Yes, it's a step.
It is a step.
But
it's going to be one of the most restrictive in the country.
Absolutely.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.
In Wisconsin, the governor told reporters this past week that he's open to signing medical marijuana legislation, even if it includes restrictions. How soon do you expect any legislation to be introduced?
I think you'll see next week that legislation gets introduced in the Capitol about medical marijuana. One of the biggest fears that I have, and I saw it in one of the comments that Governor Evers said, is that it's the first step toward recreational marijuana. That scares the bejesus out of most of the members of my caucus, because we know the wrong thing for Wisconsin is to legalize recreational marijuana. We have way too many drugs. We just went through a huge opioid crisis. The last thing that we need is marijuana shops on every street corner of every small town in Wisconsin, like we're seeing in Michigan and Illinois. They're not good. So if he wants to sign a limited version, I'm happy to work with anybody who wants to do that. But if it's just a precursor to get us toward recreational, it's going to kill the bill, and I hope that won't happen.
What type of restrictions do you anticipate to be in this bill?
You're going to see that we are offering a very limited version. It's going to help people who truly are sick. We are not going to have something like other states to where you can walk in and say, I don't feel well, and they give you a gummy bear, right? So it's going to be much more limited than that. It'll probably be the most restrictive version in the entire country, but one that we guarantee that only helps people who are truly sick and doesn't lead toward any kind of recreational marijuana.
Do you have the votes as we sit here today?
I don't know yet. We have talked about it half a dozen times in our caucus to try to make sure people are in the right place. I feel like we are very close, if not there, but I want to make sure people have a chance to read the bill, listen to their constituents, and understand it as we go through the public process.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Can I really just walk into a medical marijuana shop and say my back hurts, give me a gummy?
That's not how the process works when it's medicinal
when it's medicinal marijuana.
You have to go to a doctor. The doctor has to clear you. Now, granted, I'm sure there are doctors out there who will be like, there you go. But aside from sounding like a high school dork who's on school patrol, he doesn't understand the process either. Like, he just thinks, oh, as soon as it happens, medical marijuana is going to be, or recreational marijuana shops are going to be everywhere. And also equating it to the opioid crisis, once again, is just wrong. Medically, statistically, everything.
I mean, certainly I know there are concerns, and when we've talked to some of our listeners about this, who are very, very concerned about having easy access to marijuana. And so I can understand that, but I also find it interesting that Robin Voss doesn't want a medical marijuana shop in every corner, but a bar on every corner is fine.
Absolutely. And also, we're not even be able to get into the tax revenue just from Illinois and Michigan that he mentioned themselves, and all that money that we're spending in Michigan and Illinois that could be staying here in Wisconsin. So, you know, it's not about like getting all high, baby. It's there are legit positives of having this.
And I've said this before, and it's true. I've talked to several veterans who had either PTSD or other issues that they're dealing with, who had pharmaceuticals that made their lives worse.
Yeah.
And medical marijuana actually gave them some relief that that medicine did not.
Yep.
All right. When we return, hostages? Really? Hostages? You're listening to Matt Nair on Air across the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. you could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Here she comes down the street.
My, oh my, ain't she sweet?
Why, here comes my hot toddy.
Look out over my dead body.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck with you, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. If you want to join us, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Or you can leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We do have a note from our friend Joe McClear, who is asking, when is this show getting its own Facebook page, Greg Bach?
Soon. We are working on getting all the social medias for the show set up. We will be there. Oh, by the way, hi, Joe McClear. Just talking to Jane as usual. Whatever.
Oh, stop.
But yeah, we're getting on all that, and you'll be able to watch this show on the Facebook.
The Facebook.
But yeah, stay tuned. Hopefully by the end of the week.
Again, this all kind of, all these changes came down rather rapidly.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they were able to get us up on our website with our logo up on the website by Friday.
Yeah.
I think was astonishing. Yeah. So shout out to all of our team at Civic Media for making this happen. There was lots of scrambling going on. So yeah,
Not just the eggs.
There was lots of activity. So we'll be getting on that. And by the way, in case you missed it last week, Kristen has taken another opportunity. We are delighted for her. We're very excited for her. And you can still follow her and As Goes Wisconsin on all of her social media channels.
Absolutely. So, she'll be informing you more about what's going on.
Exactly. So that news will come from her on where that's going to take her next. All right, I wanted to switch gears a little bit because on Friday we spent the last half hour with Admiral Michael Smith, yeah, who was in the Navy for over 30 years, and he's been traveling around the country talking to groups about the very serious threat that a second Trump term would mean for democracy and what it would mean for our country.
Yeah.
And then over the weekend, because we were talking about the number of people who have been arrested and are serving time because of their actions on January 6th. Over 1,200 people have been arrested. 710 have pleaded guilty. 210 felony convictions have been handed down. 450 have been incarcerated. There are still 350 trials to go. And then during one of the Sunday shows, Representative Elise Stefanik, a Republican from New York State, now is taking on the new line, which I assume is going to be the line going forward, with that the January 6th attackers are actually hostages.
They're heroes. They're hostages. It's Antifa. It's BLM. Make up your mind.
Well, and you bring up an interesting point, Greg Buck, because on the one hand, that is still the claim by some that this was FBI inspired. It was Antifa. It was an entrapment. I saw people calling January 6th Entrapment Day. Oh,
yes. If you watch the video, you can see all the Congress members and senators as well just saying things that are just enticing all these people to the to the room. It's like it's clear.
He says facetiously.
Facetiously.
Yeah. And then Donald Trump made a campaign appearance in Iowa over the weekend and basically said the same thing. He's calling now these people who are serving time, they are the January 6th hostages. So, again, is it Antifa and FBI members who are in prison? Then why would you want to pardon them? Because that's the one argument, that these people are all Antifa and and FBI. And with the number of arrests that we had and guilty pleas.
Yes.
People
hundreds
of people have pled guilty. I think we would have heard by now if there were FBI agents among them. Wouldn't that be a big headline?
It's so tiring. Just like, make up your mind. Just come on. Like, this is, you go on television and you just sound so dumb. I know they have supporters and I know people vote for them. But at the end of the day, they have to go home and live with themselves and just realize this is the mask I had to put on. Sorry for you get triggered by me saying mask. But it just doesn't make sense at this point, 3 years on, and we still can't make up our minds on what was going on, who was there, why it happened. Well, really, it's all been investigated. It's all been settled. And they're still arresting people to this day.
Yes.
People from Wisconsin.
Yes. There's a whole list, actually, of people from Wisconsin who are still facing charges or haven't gone to trial yet. I just find this, they're not hostages. They committed crimes. And if we're going to be the country of law and order, right?
Yeah.
Then they should be serving time for these crimes. And it's got to be one or the other. Either they're patriots and hostages, or they're Antifa and FBI traitors. It can't be both.
And you can't have the truth both ways. And there's one truth, and I'm sorry you don't like it. I'm sorry that didn't wear out your way. But after a while, you just sound like a baby. You sound like a baby who can't have their bottle.
But I think there's a fair amount of people who will take this and run with it.
Yeah.
And as we talked too with Admiral Smith, and if you didn't have a chance to join us on Friday for that last half hour, I would really suggest that you go back and listen to the podcast.
Absolutely.
Because he's a very, very intelligent man with decades of experience in the U.S. military. And I just think he shared a lot of really insightful things about his concerns. And he said, too, you know, it's repeat the lie often enough,
mm-hmm.
and people will buy it.
Yeah.
Just say it over and over and over again from enough different directions, and people are going to accept that as the truth. Again, we've been talking about GOP representative from New York State, Elise Stefanik, appearing on TV over the weekend and referring to the January 6th defendants as hostages. 844-967-2789. Joe from Appleton is joining us on the line. Good morning, Joe. Thank you so much for joining us today. What do you want to say?
Hey, Jane. Congrats on the show. I know you guys are up against a break, but I do have 2 points. First of all, with regards to the Stefanik interview, shame on CNN for just letting her say it and then get away with
yes.
it. That should be a record scratch moment.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
A U.S. House representative just accused the U.S. government of holding U.S. citizens hostage? Make her explain it. Make her name some of these hostages. Explain why they are hostages. And it says she just let it go. Shame on CNN. And second point is, boy, oh boy, how empty does someone like Stefanik have to feel knowing that they are nothing more right now than a warm body there to support Trump? The base they are playing to right now would turn on her in an instant
yes.
if she so much as publicly disagreed with him on anything.
Yes.
None of them would say, oh, well, this is a wise, smart, capable person. Let's hear what she has to say. No. If she disagrees with the tie that he wears publicly, they would toss her out in an instant.
Absolutely.
I mean, how can anybody feel good about themselves in that role? I don't understand it.
It's got to be the money and the power, Joe. That's all I can think of. Thank you so much for calling, Joe, and really appreciate you listening. We are going to move on. When we return, we have a special guest joining us to talk about the lack of ice on the Great Lakes and what that means for us. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Capture her heart singing. Oh, no, you haven't a chance when I go into my dance. I'll take you through life singing. La da da dee, la da da dee, la da da dee. Boom, 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 boom.
I'll make you my wife, dancing. If
you could dance.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Around 250 million Americans are in the path of a dangerous storm system. Meteorologist David Parkinson.
We are going to be seeing rain rates of 1 to 2 to 3 inches per hour at times, particularly after dark on Tuesday. And when that happens, we are likely to see flash flooding because the ground is already just so saturated.
The National Transportation Safety Board will determine if bolts were properly installed on a door plug on an Alaska Airlines jet that ripped off last week. NTSB's Clint Cruikshanks.
We found that both guide tracks on the plug were fractured. We have not yet recovered the four bolts that restrain it from its vertical movement.
Three people are dead in an apparent murder-suicide at a motel near Duluth, Minnesota. Division Commander Wade Rash.
We believe that the suspect is deceased, but I do not know the nature of how he became so.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It doesn't happen a lot in Wisconsin, but it does happen. A small earthquake was detected near Crandon Sunday morning. The Crandon Fire Department posted on Facebook about reports of rumbling and shaking in the area. The U.S. Geological Survey confirms it was a 2.5 magnitude quake. Legislative Republicans are proposing a constitutional amendment to limit diversity efforts in Wisconsin. If passed by two consecutive terms of the legislature and approved by voters, local governments and state agencies would be banned from either discriminating against or giving preferential treatment to anyone on the basis of race, sex, ethnicity, or national origin. Last year, Republicans successfully got the universities of Wisconsin to reclassify dozens of DEI positions. Instead of diversity, equity, and inclusion, GOP lawmakers want all hiring decisions to be based on merit, fairness, and equality. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and won.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three, and the lead. He had it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner three. Got it again.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A winter storm warning going into effect. A little bit of a mix of freezing drizzle and snow to all snow overnight, with temperatures holding steady in the lower 30s. Any kind of accumulation, an inch or less. During the day Tuesday, 3 to 7 inches, highs in the lower 30s. It's 30 at our studios.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, joining you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha, broadcasting all across the state, including in Richland Center on WRCE, and shout out to everybody listening in Oshkosh on WISS as well. If you want to join us, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We talked about this, Greg, a little bit last week. The shocking lack of ice across the Great Lakes. It is it's like a record. On New Year's Day, ice cover across the Great Lakes was next to nothing, averaging less than 0.4%, the lowest on record for the day, looking at 50 years of data. So I thought it would be important for us to look at this a little bit more closely with an expert. So joining us from the UW-Milwaukee School of Freshwater Sciences, Dr. Cool, Dr. Russell Cool is our guest this morning. Good morning, Dr. Cool. How are you?
Great. How are you today? Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Thank you so very much. So what?
It's a big topic right now. It's a lot of calls about this.
I'm sure, because there are a lot of different ramifications because of this. Can you tell us what some of those are?
Absolutely. I have a list of about 10 things, that bullet points, that I would bring up here. And they're ones that everybody doesn't think about because everybody already thought about those. So first, I'd like to talk about some of the things that ice does and how we perceive it. My home, I'm looking out over the South Shore Yacht Club Marina, and there's a breakwall out there. And that breakwall in January of 2020 was really damaged seriously by a really large storm.
I remember that
took out hundreds of feet of the breakwall, and it took until this year for them to replace that. But I had photos of that every hour, and that helped us get FEMA money. So the point of that is that shore ice actually helps to prevent some aspects of shoreline erosion by having something that the water falls on instead of the shoreline or the rocks themselves. An obvious one is that there will be more turbulent mixing when there's no ice. Ice prevents the wind from moving the water, and so the ice over reduces and stagnifies, if you want, the water underneath. And an issue with that that's been around for tens of thousands of years is that a lot of biological processes occur in the winter under the ice that would not occur with the turbulent mixing. So there are some potential changes in the behavior of the biology, especially. And that brings up the idea of the seasonal migration of cool water fish. Many of the very popular sport fish, like the salmonids, for example, are cool water fish that people go out on charter boats to go fishing for in deep water. And then in the fall, they move inshore because the water cools down enough for them. And there's a huge amount of food, both the blood red mysid, which is a new invader that's like a small shrimp, and the round goby, which is the most abundant fish in Lake Michigan now, that's also an invader. And they feed on those. The bottom feeding salmonids feed on those. So their period of being able to access this is a little shorter, but the conditions that favor their coming in is actually longer. And so there's an influence of that. And it's a great thing for sport fishermen and people who actually eat out of the lake, because fishing from the shoreline and the piers lasts much longer.
Sure.
Okay, you can't fish for salmon off of a pier when there's ice all around it. And that also works for eagles. We have eagles that live in our neighborhood, and when the South Shore Marina and the Outer Harbor has ice in it, they'll go down there and sit next to a crack or a hole, and they'll catch salmon that come up to get a bite to eat, and they'll bring it out onto the ice. And of course, that's not happening either. There are shipping restrictions that occur during ice. And as many people know, it's getting close to being able to drive a boat from Europe to Japan through the North Pole area because of the lack of ice in the north. And that's something that happens here. At our place out on the Milwaukee Inner Harbor, every year about late January, we see the big lakers, the 1,000-footers and the 750-footers, come in and tie up for 2 to 3 months by the granary there because they can't navigate sure. the Great Lakes during the ice. So shipping is influenced. It's inhibited. So that's one. And then we talked about shoreline storm protection, predatory birds, the shipping restrictions, bottom scouring. Okay, so now in the near shore, there's a lot of things that go on in terms of both biology and geology on the bottom. The turbulence of water erodes bottom structures like clays and sands especially,
okay.
and moves sands around. And much of the turbulence occurs during the winter, because that's when the big storms are, like the one that's coming tonight with 40-knot winds. And so the ice protects the bottom from that turbulent activity that is scouring materials from the bottom. On the other hand, and we're always having to look at both sides, on the other hand, the ice itself can damage the bottom, because if it gets thick enough and it moves over the bottom when it's broken up, it scrapes the bottom. So if you're just, those are some things.
If you're just joining us, Dr. Russell Cool is our guest. He's from the UWM's School of Freshwater Sciences. And we're talking about the fact that there's very, very little ice cover right now across the Great Lakes and the ramifications of that. You had mentioned a little bit earlier, Dr. Cool, just about, I can remember photos, and I think it was people who live along Lake Superior, with these storms that were coming in and essentially icing over their entire homes.
Yes. Yeah, the spray, of course, it from surf action gets in the air. It becomes an aerosol. Everyone has noticed that the last couple of years have been extremely humid in the winter. In the summer, too, but in the winter. And part of the reason for that is that there is a change in the jet stream and in the air currents that flow over the upper Midwest where we are. And an outcome of that is that instead of restricting the southerly air currents that come up from Louisiana and the Gulf Coast from getting up here and having them go east, they come right up onto Lake Michigan, and that's humid air. And when warm, humid air strikes cold water, you get fog. And so one of the things that we see more commonly in the late summer and early fall is fogged in days. In fact, in 2015, it was so bad that there was no volleyball on the beach at Bradford because it was so fogged in and the water was only 50 degrees Fahrenheit. So people weren't swimming. And there was a lot of difference in the late summer from usual. Another unusual thing that people probably wouldn't think about, but that is a really major side effect, is what we call albedo. Albedo is a word, a meteorological term, that means reflection. And ice reflects light unless it's really dirty. And so when it reflects the light, that light goes back off into space, and that reduces the amount of heat that is stored in the water near where the ice is. And so that actually is a counter to global warming, in the sense that it does move energy back out into space. But more importantly is that it also affects regional climate. So if you're downwind, for example, if you are in Lake Erie and you're in Buffalo and you're downwind of ice, you get a completely different winter situation than you do if you're downwind of water.
Fascinating.
So we study the ice by looking at the surface, and much of the information that we get in the winter is from satellites, because they can see the entire Great Lakes area and they can zoom in and see stuff as small as 10 or 20 feet. But one of the two things that are interesting, there are many, one is that it's often cloudy and the satellites can't see through the clouds for heat. And the second thing is that all of the buoys, you've heard a lot about buoys out in Lake Michigan and the Great Lakes that are helping people understand the weather and when they can go fishing and stuff. The buoys are great, but they take them in November and they don't go out until March. So the whole winter really is unoccupied by information unless we go out. Now, my partner and I, Carmen Aguilar, who's a senior scientist also, we have gone out in the middle of winter when the water was 39 degrees or less, which is the mixing temperature, since 1990.
Oh, wow.
And so we have a really good record since 1998. So we have a 25 years of going out and making actual direct measurements of lake processes during the winter. And we go out in the winter. You have to pick your days and things
like
that. But we go out, we have a monitoring station that is 25 kilometers, about 13 miles offshore. And we go out to that station and other nearshore stations several times every winter. And that helps us to understand seasonality.
Dr. Cole, we only have a couple of minutes left. I'm just assuming this is something that is going to be ongoing. This is something that we're going to have to be watching moving forward. I would assume this lack of ice because of the changes in our climate.
You bet.
So you and your partner are going to be very, very busy in the coming years with many more trips out to the middle of Lake Michigan in the winter.
Yeah, if we can get support. Now, I'm an old guy, and I could retire at any time, but this is so exciting, and the things that go with it are so exciting that I continue to do it. But, you know, it's really hard to get support for ship time because people think monitoring is mindless. And so they think, well, why should we give money to a mindless project? But it's not. As I've told you, a whole bunch of things that we've studied that you have gone, yeah, I understand that.
Dr. Russell Cool is with the UWM School of Freshwater Sciences, also known as Dr. Cool. Really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Have a wonderful day.
Talk to you again.
Absolutely. Stay with us when we return. Here's a little earthquake in Wisconsin. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. Smile Train is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We are Cheeseheads cheering at the Lambo. This is the year we make it to the big show. Far passes, makes touchdowns, and we will do the Lambo leap in Titletown. Move with us, chant with us, and you will be a Packer fan just like us.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air and Greg Bach coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call, text at 844-967-2789. 844-96
Party.
Thank you, Greg Bach.
You're welcome.
That was a very interesting conversation with Dr. Cool. It really was about the lack of ice and what that means. And if you live along the shores, I'm not quite sure what. Wrap your house in a parka, I guess. Big, fluffy, one of those big, puffy coats.
Oh, get yourself a big North Face house size.
Yeah, there you go.
And just bundle up and bunker in.
Yeah, definitely. A couple of things we're going to cover. I mentioned that there was, yes, a small 2.5 earthquake hit the Crandon area.
Yeah.
Yesterday in Wisconsin, it hit about 4 kilometers northeast of Mole Lake. Earthquakes of about 2.5 or less are usually don't feel them, but can be recorded by a seismograph. But the Forest County Sheriff's Office said on Facebook that it got multiple calls regarding an abnormally excessive shaking vibration coming from the ground. I only have one relatable thing to say about this, and this is many, many years ago when I was working at a station in Hills Corners. And I was prepping for the show, and I'm looking at my computer monitor, and I felt this weird shake. And I thought someone was behind me just messing with me, shaking my chair. Because this doesn't happen in Wisconsin.
No.
And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that violent.
Yeah.
It was just kind of an odd, like someone's behind you, just going, wing. No, it was an earthquake. And that was an earthquake that happened in Missouri that we felt.
Oh my God.
And it was, again, it was a very, very small one, but it's very disconcerting.
It's weird. And were we talking about it last week or maybe I don't remember it. Just, I was in Los Angeles when there was an earthquake and it was like a 3.5 or like,
which is not huge,
not huge. And they're very much used to it. But I wish that people in California would understand that we don't, like, for people who don't have earthquakes, we don't know what that feels like. Like, I'm not going to say to anyone who's watching a tornado rip through a city, that's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what it's about.
Sure.
So when the earth is moving and something falls on my head and wakes me up, I get to be a little freaked out.
And they're just like, well, this is Tuesday.
Tuesday sucks.
Some commenters did say that their houses shook. Others said they heard loud noises like thunder or a large plow truck going by. No damage or anything like that. But again, it's just an odd happening, particularly in northern Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, whatever. It's we made it, folks. We made it.
We did.
We made it through the big one of 2024.
The other big news, of course, the Green Bay Packers are in the playoffs.
Oh.
I'm so happy for Jordan Love. I really genuinely am.
I think it's great. Like, you know, I'm not the biggest football fan.
Right.
But when the hometown team makes it to a certain point, I'm excited for the team, excited for the fans. And yes, Jordan Love, this is amazing. This is so fantastic. I mean, if they go into Texas, they go into Dallas. Dallas is running 16 games in a row at home winning streak.
Wins, yeah.
If he can just, this wild card game, if he can just overcome that.
What a victory.
I mean,
that would be huge.
That would be huge.
It really would, though. Yeah. When you consider the ups and downs of this entire season.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And on the one hand, it's like, oh, it was great, and oh, we're terrible, and oh, the defense, and oh, the defense.
Now it's just, oh, Joe Barry, ah, Joe Barry.
Jordan Love's first season, according to the Journal Sentinel today, as the starting quarterback, besting Aaron Rodgers in 2008. Love did something the 22 Rodgers could not do. Lead his team to a victory in a win in the playoffs finale against a rival at Lambeau Field. Last year, Rodgers lost to the Lions.
To
the Lions on Sunday. Love and the Packers beat the Bears. Da Bears. 17-9.
And I'm sure that Jordan Love also doesn't say, like, actionable slash slanderous things about other people and... You know, just Jordan Love just seems like a nice gentleman.
He does.
Just seems like a good lad.
He does seem like a good lad. And I can't think of anything that would annoy Aaron Rodgers more than knowing that his replacement bested him.
Could you imagine? Could you, Jane, for a moment, let's just go into a fantasy land.
Okay.
Not because it can't happen, because we don't know yet.
Right.
Could you imagine if the Packers won the Super Bowl this year?
That would be, not only would it probably be pretty miraculous,
yeah,
it would be, that would be so great.
So here's the thing, I'm not laughing because of that, I'm laughing because I'm so petty. I'm so petty.
I think there were a lot of people who would be delighted just for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, yeah.
Just for a meh.
Just if you're English and you're watching this. Meh.
Oh, there's so many gestures that can go along with that. So as you said, next up for the Packers on Sunday, they will be in Dallas.
In Dallas against the Cowboys, where the Cowboys are enjoying a 16-game winning streak at home, which is an NFL record right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Head coach Mike McCarthy.
Yeah. Pat Kreitlow this morning on Up North News Radio was talking about this, and he said that it's the longest winning streak in 34 years, and my brain's like, oh, man, like the 50s or the 60s? No, 1990. 1990. You're welcome, millennials and Gen Xers.
Well, go back, go. Again, I know he's going up against head coach Mike McCarthy. I think Mike McCarthy is also a very, very nice man. I had the chance to talk to him numerous times over the years when he was still coaching the Packers. And for all his gruffness and his
How's that again?
He's a squish. He used to talk about playing Barbies with his daughter. It was it was adorable.
Oh, I bet he watched Barbies with his the Barbie movie with his kids
when they were little. Yeah,
no, I'm talking about now. Oh. I should imagine a little tear running down his eye.
Yes, the new Barbie. Yeah. Okay. All right. When we return, we're going to talk about voting on college campuses. We will be joined by UW-Madison political science professor Barry Burden. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air across the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's White's hacking, Brooks leaping, all the league, their fans, they will be weeping. Move with us, chant with us, and you will be a Packer fan just like us.
Brent and a Brooks and an Edgar and a Reggie, Jackson and Shimura and a Holmgren and a Jack, Pete Jones and a Leroy and a Newsom and a Dorsey. Hey, Packeroya, hut, hut. Brent and a Brooks and an Edgar and a Reggie, Jackson and Shimura and a Holmgren and a Jack, Pete Jones and a Leroy and a Newsom and a Dorsey. Hey, Packeroya, hut, hut.
Well, what was I supposed to do? The other team was out of town, and that Mark Shimura is so fine.
Brent and a Brooks and an Edgar and a Reggie, Jackson and Shimura.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app. It's fully leaded education talk. Hard facts with a humorous twist. Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News.